The first passage is taken from Psalm 119. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. And then from 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Let's pray. Lord God, as we learn from your word, help us not to digest the words from the pages, but to know something more of your heart and will for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we approach reading the Bible? Both liberal and conservative Christians, and most in between, tend to approach reading the Bible as an exercise in research, seeking to mine the texts within the Bible for nuggets of wisdom that support this or that position. We default to a mode of Bible study that is all about downloading information, and we can easily be focused on the historical and literary concerns of what we're reading. This approach, I think, means we can lose sight of an important aspect of what the Bible can be for us, a way of relating to God. Biblical teaching is important for us. Sermons that help us unpack what the Bible means for us are good for our discipleship. As Paul wrote in that passage from 2 Timothy, all Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. And the Bible does help with all of those things. But it's also good for something more. And reducing our Bible reading to research ignores a primary way that we can deepen our relationship with God in Christ. We're not fed in our Christian life by simply ingesting head knowledge. We need not to just data mine the Bible, but also to embrace the mystery of God that is found within its story. We're not performing an autopsy on a dead body when we come to read the Bible. We're coming to encounter the living God. We'll never know all that there is to know about God through study alone. We need to experience God in a living relationship to get the most out of our reading of the Bible. And through our reading of the Bible, we can show our love of God. The Bible is the primary way that we can know God today. There are other ways that we can come to know God, but a basic, elementary, core way, a way that is least susceptible to put in our own subjective spin on things, is through reading the Bible. Timothy Ward, in his book, Words of Life, talks about the Bible being the primary means that God has given us to encounter him. Through meditation and reflection on Scripture, we can encounter God. Because through the Bible, It's the only way we have to qualify any experience we have of God. If we see God in the beauty of creation, we need to turn to the Bible to help us appreciate that and to know the Creator who is behind it all. If we experience the whisper of God through the Holy Spirit as we pray, we need to turn to the Bible to see if what we hear is consistent with God's further revelation. We, of course, can read the Bible poorly. We can read what we want to read, leave out the bits that we're not interested in. We can ignore the bits we don't like or don't understand. But if we come to the Bible with honesty, it can still be the least subjective way we have of understanding God. And it is only through the Bible we can find out the deep truths about Jesus. We can know Jesus personally through the Spirit, but how would we ever know it was Jesus we are experiencing without the wisdom of the Bible? The Baptist Union's Declaration of Principle has these words in it, that the Lord Jesus and Saviour Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus is the one authority over our lives as his followers, but we need the words of the Bible to understand what that authority might entail. But it doesn't mean that the Bible is just one big proof text, in that it just backs up our claims about Jesus. After all, you can pull a verse from the Bible that could back up virtually any position you might want to hold. The words of the Bible are something more. They're a way that can lead us to an encounter with the living Word. The words of the Bible can lead us deeper. An encounter with Jesus on the pages of the Bible is not just found in the Gospels, but throughout both Testaments. The Old Testament is always looking forward to the one who will come and redeem the whole of creation. And that person is Jesus. All through the Old Testament, there are images and metaphors that help us connect with Jesus. And we can read Jesus into the way that God worked in the Old Testament as well. Maybe we wouldn't see him in the stock taking of numbers or in some of the action sequences, but in every book of the Old Bible, there is a signpost to Jesus. There is a reflection called Jesus in every book of the Bible. In Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman. Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, Jesus is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kingsman and redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, our reigning king. In Ezra, the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Nehemiah, our restorer. In Esther, Jesus is our advocate. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, our hope of resurrection. In Song of Songs, our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, the righteous wrong. In Lamentation, Jesus is our weeping prophet. Ezekiel, the one who is with the right to rule. In Daniel, he is the Son of Man. Hosea, Jesus is the faithful husband to the forever married to the sinner. In Joel, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, the restorer of justice. Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he is our great missionary. In Micah, he is the feet of the one who brings good news. Nahum, Jesus is the stronghold in our day of trouble. In Habakkuk, he is God, my Saviour. In Zephaniah, he is the King of Israel. Haggai, he is the signet ring. In Zechariah, he is our humble king riding on a colt. In Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness. In Matthew, he is God with us. In Mark, he is the Son of God. In Luke, he is the Son of Mary. In John, he is the bread of life. In Acts, he is the Saviour of the world. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he is the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he is the God of all comfort. In Galatians, he is your liberty. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 1 Timothy, he is your faith. In 2 Timothy, he is your stability. In Titus, he is your is truth. In Philemon, he is your benefactor. In Hebrews, he is your perfection. In James, he is the power of your faith. In 1 Peter, he is your example. In 2 Peter, he is your purity. 1 John, he is your life. In 2 John, he is your pattern. In 3 John, your motivation. In Jude, he is the foundation of your faith. And in Revelation, Jesus is your coming King. Jesus is there in the whole of Scripture. Wherever we look, we just need to see him. Jesus is there as we read the Bible, explicitly or implicitly, if we're willing to look. Jesus can be found in many other ways apart from that list. Reading the Bible can lead us to knowing more about Jesus and hence knowing more about God. But more importantly, we can experience more of Jesus and more of God as we dwell upon his written word, because we're encountering his living word through our reading. And our reading from Psalm 119 gives us some insight into how we do this. Those cherry-picked verses from the longest chapter in the Bible aren't systematic teaching, but as with all the Psalms, they're figurative, using language that inspires our imaginations to aid us in our logical thinking. In Psalm 119, we have the psalmist desiring for the people of God to allow God's word, in this case, the books of the law, because that's all they had written down at the time, desiring for them to be drawn into a closer relationship with God. A relationship seen with them walking in obedience to the word of God. The law was never supposed to be a millstone around their necks. It was supposed to cut them loose from their destructive ways and release them into a God-shaped life. In these verses from this psalm, we see that God's word was to affect the person at the deepest level. Not just words getting lodged in the mind, but words that move those 30 centimetres or so down into the heart. God's words to shape your decision-making and your actions. If though we don't embody God's word, we fall short of the kind of relationship we can have with God. We're to give our whole selves to being shaped by God's word. And that's worship. That is our love of God. However, the psalmist realizes that we can easily lose our way in life. And they share that image of the word of God being a light to guide our feet as we seek to follow God's ways. And it is the light of God's word that will ensure we're walking in the right direction. So we need to keep our eyes on that light. It's quite hard for us in the densely populated south of England to find real darkness at night. There's always that glow in the air. But if you manage to find yourself somewhere away from towns and streetlights and go for a walk at night when it's a new moon, you'll realise how dark it can be. And that's how it was in the pre-electrified world of the psalmist. To journey in darkness, you need a light. You need a lamp for your feet. And we need the light of God's word to shine and lead us through the darkness of the world. His light enables us to know him and know his will and navigate our way through life. Our hearts need to treasure and delight in God's word, allowing that word to shape our living so that our love and dedication and awe of God is seen in how we walk through our lives with him. Our reading of the Bible is a way that we can open ourselves up to worshipping God. A way by which we can come to love God and know the love of God more deeply. Our reading of the Bible is not merely a choice to untangle the passages of the Bible that we read, but a chance to encounter the living God through his living word. Bible study has its place, but the Bible is not merely a textbook. It is the revelation of God to his people. Opening up ourselves to meeting God through the pages of our Bible is an important aspect to our worship. At times we need to let the word of God speak to us without having to interpret its words. Reading the words of the Bible in our gathered worship without them being connected to the sermon can help us connect to God in Christ. Let the words of Scripture rest upon us in our worship. The book of Psalms are brilliant for this. They were Israel's songs of worship, and they can be our songs of worship as well. Take time to let the word of God dwell with you, to meditate, to soak in them, to let them permeate your being. When reading the Bible in worship, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit enables us to encounter the living word, not just the words on the page. Because as we reach out to meet God through reading his word, he will reach out to meet us. Through the Holy Spirit, God will bring certain words or phrases to the forefront of our minds, words that we will need to wrestle with, be challenged by, words that we will need to take away from our meditation and embody. We may need to learn new things about God and his nature, or be reminded of old truths. But whatever we take away, we will be fed. We will have encountered the living God. When we read the Bible, we will find out just how much God loves us. And in turn, this can inspire us to love God more in our lives. We can love God more through reading the Bible. We just need to read it with open hearts and minds, putting aside research and embracing the search for a deeper relationship. Because focusing on the outside of the apple without biting into it means we miss out on the true goodness. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning and for our growing in relationship to you, help us to hear you speaking to us through your word. Help us to meditate, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.